once had a zero share.
Gross.
Really? Yeah.
Very good to see the share.
What?
The thing that are disgusting.
Just, I taught them the Ian.
Really?
Nice. Okay.
Are they recording the Josh Yar or the...
No. They should be on... they should be on my guitar. Okay. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. It was like one guy's idea. We just said do it, so we did it. Okay. We're in the middle of Sif Beis, Rav Moshe. If you remember, we were like up to the second part of the Mechaber, right? The Mechaber split in half. And I pointed out that the first part of the Mechaber is basically copying over the Rambam, which restating the Gemara. And really, the Rambam didn't say much there that wasn't just a copy of the Gemara. This part, we're not exactly sure. Where the Rambam got it from. The Gra points out here in your base, Kegirtas Ktsatsvar Bimasnisin, that there are some gersos of the Mishnah that have in the Mishnah that you stir it. The Mishnah says, thou shalt, as it were, stir the Kedera. So the Rambam perhaps had that Gersa, and which is not the way it appears in our Shas. So we don't have an Gemara, but perhaps the Rambam had a Gersa which says, you should stir it. So he's not copying over the Gemara. Here he's copying over his Gersa in the Mishnah. The Gersa is here in your base. Nowhere is Hakadira. Okay. Now, what does he say? Likewise, if a drop fell into the broth or the pieces, you don't know which piece it fell on, meaning if it had fallen on a particular piece, you would take that piece out and throw it out. Or what we say, we would say if the piece is 60 times the drop, then it's okay. If the piece is less than 60 times the drop, it's not okay throwing in the garbage. But you don't know which piece it fell in. Nor is it kdeir kula shiyashim sarah kul. You stir the kdeir. This is the first time it's telling you what to do. You stir the kdeir. It's not a halachic obligation, obviously. It's an eitzah tova. You know, if you want the best halachic result in the end, then stir the kdeir at shiyashim sarah kul and mix everything together. Nier im yesh b'kdeir kula tam chalav asur. And then, if the whole kdeir tastes like milk, it is asur. And if not, then it is mutter. Meaning, we would say, we Ashkenazim would say, if the whole kedera is 60 times the drop, which is, of course, awfully likely that it's mutter, and in the unlikely case, the whole kedera is only 59 times the drop, it is asur. Since the Mechaber Sfardi, he says, you get a goy, you taste the kedera, and if you can't find a goy, then you just estimate using shishim. Now, here is the big question about this Rambam / Mechaber. What does the Rambam mean? Right, says the Rambam and the Mechaber, right? Something not found in our Bavlis, Lechorah, maybe based on the Gersa and Shnayis. He says, nowhere es hakdeira. Okay, based on everything we said until now, there are two ways to interpret the Rambam. Noer et hakdeira. What are the two ways to interpret the Rambam? Based on everything we said until now, the different categories, what are the two ways to interpret it? What are the two types of near? Near b'tchila or near b'sof, right? What does the Rambam mean? On the one hand, it sounds like nowhere et hakdeira. Like first you see and you notice and you wonder what to do. You open up your Shulchan Aruch or your Rambam, and then you stir it. Sounds like it's lo near b'tchila el b'sof. But on the other hand, the halacha wouldn't match then. Because lo near b'tchila el b'sof, it's not enough for the kedera to be 60 times the tipah. The tipa stays in the chaticha, makes a chana, and now the kedera needs to be 6 times the chaticha. So the halacha of the Rambam works if it's near mitchila v'yatsof, right? Or near mitchila, as the Rambam says. So which way does what does the Rambam mean? There are two shot in what the Rambam means. According to the Torah and the Magid Mishnah and the Rambam, he means nowhere. He means nowhere the basof, right? This is the case of lo near batchila, ella levasof. In which case, the halacha doesn't make sense. In which case, the halacha doesn't make sense. Because if it's loni retchilu basof, which is what it sounds like, you know, you then go back, it sounds like it's a whole process, right? Like later you go back and mix it, then it doesn't make sense because it's already chanan and now you should need 6 times the whole chaticha, which is why the Ramah in the Torah, Ramah here is echoing the Torah, as the parentheses say, v'yish kol kunusfir lo'deinu ma'achnar k'deir lo'shanir me'yachnaf le'esarach. No, we argue on the Rambam and say, it doesn't help to stir unless you stir right away. Stirring later doesn't help, and our minhag is against the Rambam. Therefore, what do we say about this Rambam? So they all say that we reject this Rambam. So what do we then do? Question: is that the Chaticha became Chanan? So you need. Shishim b'kedera neged hachaticha, and yet here we say just 60 drops is enough. So then you have two ways to go. One way is the Tor and the Ramah. They reject the Rambam / Machaber. Obviously, the Tor is rejecting the Rambam. The Machaber wasn't born yet, and the Ramah is rejecting the Machaber. That's one shot. But how do we defend the Rambam / Machaber? Right, obviously. They meant something. So here in Zemachlokas, how to defend the Rambam / Mechaber, says the Beis Yosef. Of course, if it's Beis Yosef, that seems to imply that that's the Mechaber, right? And the Mahari Ibn Lev, says the Mahari Ibn Lev and the Beis Yosef, they say that really, there's no Machlokas between the Rambam and the Torah. There's no Machlokas between the Mechaber and the Rambam. Really, it was just a misunderstanding. And even by, you can say, half the Ramah made a misunderstanding, even though the Beis Yosef, I'm afraid someone else would make a misunderstanding, so we have to be very clear. It's a misunderstanding they also meant near Matzchila. The Ramah meant meaning near right away, in which case, right? There's no Kiddush in the Ramah. All the Rambam is saying is that we all know near mitchil of Yad Sof or kis mitchil of Yad Sof, then it immediately dissipates through the whole thing. Drop is goes through the whole kneir as multiple shishim as long as the whole stew has 60 drops. And all the Rambam's adding, he's not adding any chiddush din. All he's saying is until I told you what happens based on what you did, now I'm giving you an Eitzah Tov on what to do. Right? If you see a drop falling in, stir it immediately. Why? Because then it'll be near mitchila mitchila v'atzof, and then it'll all be mutter. The Rambam is just giving you an Eitzah Tova. Okay, there's more details. We're not going to go into all the details. However, the Magid Mishnah and the Shach and the Taz like the Magid Mishnah. Shach and the Taz both like the Magid Mishnah. The Magid Mishnah and the Shach and the Taz saying no. The Rambam really meant that you stir it later. And yet, it's still mutter and there's no Chanan. In which case, this is a Kiddush. What's the Kiddush? That even though you only stir it later, there's no Chanan. But that doesn't make sense. Now, again, if it fell into the Marak, then of course there's no Chanan. It immediately dissipates through the Marak. But the Rambam says it fell into the Marak or one of the pieces, and you don't know which piece it fell in. So it fell into one of the pieces. You don't know which piece it fell in. So that piece should be Hanan. And then you should need 60 times that piece. Okay, how do you know which piece? I don't know. Maybe you need 60 times the biggest piece. Maybe 60 times the average piece. Whatever it may be. Right? So here we have a big question. The question is, okay, it's a Chiddush. The Chiddush is that we don't say Hanan. But why don't we say Hanan? So someone tell me in one sentence why, according to the Magid Mishnah, Shach and Taz's Pshat in the Rambam, We don't say Hanan in this case. Suffolk. What do you mean by it's a suffolk? Right, mean it. Say it a little more pointedly.
You can't identify a people if you called in a bailiff.
Exactly. You can't say Hanan without knowing what's Hanan. This is a big Kiddush. Because what are they basically saying? Is Hanan something that happens naturally? or something that happened. Like this, if a milk and meat mixed in the forest and no one heard, would it be Hanan? Right? A tree falls on the forest, and on the tree is a cup of milk, which falls into a chulet, right? And nobody hears. Would it be Hanan or not? We might have said, yeah, it would be Hanan. Hanan is a fact. Hanan is not epistemological, right? Hanan is just what happens when milk and mix, meat and milk mix, they become nevela. Says the Tremendous Kiddush, no, it's not that when meat and milk mix, they become nevela. It is that when you paskin, when a Jew sees that meat and milk have mixed, it becomes a nevela. Hanan is the real to the psak. By psak, I don't mean that you know halacha. Even if the meat and milk would mix in someone's kitchen who didn't know anything about Shulchan Aruch, didn't know anything about Hanan, they weren't even from whatever, you know, then it would still be Hanan, because theoretically, they could find out the halacha. But Hanan is created by Yediyas HaTarovis, not by Tarovis. This is going to be a big machlokas throughout the Shulchan Aruch. The mainstream poskim will paskin against this, that Hanan is created even without a Yediyah. Which is fine, we don't have to paskin like the Rambam, but this is going to be machlokas a few places in Yeridea. This Hanan created by the Metzias or by the Yediyas HaMetzias? So, what's the big chiddush? The big chiddush is that Hanan is created by Yediya, not by the Metzias. And that's my lashon, right? That's my sort of plumbish presentation, the way they say it is. And this is in the Magen Mishnah. The Shachnas are not being mechadish anything in the basic shot of this Rama. The Magen Mishnah says, "Kem shein yodeis chatichei im lomer banase snevela." Right? What do they say? They say there's no Hanan because you don't know which chatiha it is. I'm not saying we paskin this way. The Ramah rejected this. We're Ashkenazim. We follow the Ramah who rejected this. The Shach and Taz are not paskin against the Ramah. They're just explaining the Ramah. Right? But it seems to be now, then what would be the machlokas? The Ramah and the Torah would hold there's Hanan is created by Metzias. I'm theoretically say this counts as Yedia since you know which group of chatichas, but let's simplify Hanan is created by Metzias. That seems to be the mainstream Ashkenazi psak, and the Rambam would hold, not really the Machaber, because really the Machaber is based Yosef. The Rambam would hold that Hanan is created by Yediya, and the Torah and the Ramah would hold that Hanan is created by the Metzias. That seems to be the Machlokas here. Okay, then the Shach and the Taz get into a lot of other discussions, such as why mixing it even without Hanan? We solved the Hanan problem. Yeah. Sorry.
So why did the Shach and Taz disagree with Ramah because you don't pass it up for mice against Ramah?
Did I say they disagreed with the Ramah and Maisa?
Yeah, that's what
you said. I mean, on the board I said that.
Oh, you didn't.
No, okay. No. What I said is that the Shach and the Taz. I see. The way I put it on the board, one second, let's just think about this for a second. Yeah, I don't think that they are disagreeing with the Ramah, let's just say. Put that. This is the Shach and Taz's shot in the Ramah. Meaning they think this is a better shot in the Ramah than the Beis Yosef from Ariv and Leib shot in the Ramah. I don't think they're saying we pass like the Ramah. They're just saying this is basically the machlokes. There's two pshat in the Rambam. One pshat in the Rambam is that he really means what the Torah in the Rambam mean. He meant right away. The other pshat in the Rambam is that he meant later and made a chiddush din, a restriction of Hanan. That Hanan is the tree in the forest doesn't have Hanan. right? They really analyze in the Rambam. They're not passing it, but it seems from many other places in Yerdeya that they agree with Psak and the Ramah. They just think Shad and the Rambam is so arguing on the Ramah. They're just explaining Shad and the Rambam. So Machlokes Shad and the Rambam. Okay. They have a few other issues. There's a lot of details going on here, which, we're not going to go into all of them. Just one example is what exactly is the case? Let's say it's the Shach and Taz are both a little bothered by Bitlis Lechachi Latain, according to the Rambam. There's no Hanan. But there's still something called Ein Mevatlin Isser L'Chachila. You can't mix an Isser in to make it Batel L'Chachila. What happens here? Hold on. The drop of milk is in one piece. We don't know which piece, but it's in one piece. If the drop of milk is in one piece, now what are we doing? We're mixing it through the whole pot so that it'll go through the whole pot. Isn't that a problem with Batel Isser L'Chachila? We're taking this meat and milk. There's one piece which has the milk in it, which has basar v'chalav, and then we're being mevatel, we're dissipating it through the whole pot. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to take the iser and spread it through the whole pot to make a bitul iser v'chachiva. So the Shach discusses this, and the Shach gives two basic answers. His first answer is that no, it's not really bitul iser v'chachiva, it's really already batel. Why? This is a principle. There's also some Kofi Aleph about this. And, later I'm going to point out, we have to see what Shach said in Kofi Aleph, get it all to work. We'll get to some Kofi Aleph. Mir Hashem. There's a principle in some Kofi Aleph that says, if you're not sure where the Isser landed, then it's as if it's mixed in everywhere. Let's say you have, 10 pots. And the Isser fell into one of these 10 pots. Then it's as if it fell into all the 10 pots, even though it only fell into one of them. It's called whatever is in the suffragus inside of the pot, though. Wherever it might have fallen is part of what we view as one big tub of this. So the Shasta, according to this, is not a problem. Since it landed in one of the chatichas, we don't know which, it's as if it landed in all the chatichas, so they're all part of the tub of this, so it's already pot. And therefore, it's not bitulus achila. He also points out that it's not bitulus achila because only a suffix, if it landed in the if it what? Correct. So it's only suffic if it landed someplace that might have already been an Isser, and the Shach is a Shita all over, which Lemaisa will see. We only rely on Batira for other things, that whenever you're not sure if there's an Isser in the first place, it's put to Mivatul Chachila. Okay. There are many other questions that they bring up here. There are many other questions that they bring up here in Diyunim, but maybe we'll leave it at this. This is the basic issue. Halacha l'maisa, we paskin, it doesn't really matter if we paskin like the Torah and the Ramah who reject the Ramah, or like the Maria ben Leib and the Beis Yosef who accept the Ramah. They both say the exact same thing, that if you stir it right away, it's okay, but if you stir it later, it is not okay. But if you stir it later, it is not okay. Okay, the Shach in the end says, that perhaps it's not because we argue about Chanan, maybe we argue about something else. Most of the Achron will assume it's because we argue about Chanan. So we will leave it at this and go weiter. Yes? I think so. I think it's party hold the same as the Ramah and say, what do you mean? We meant the same thing all along. You shouldn't have said Yishchokin. You just said the, the hanger, and this means. Yeah, I think this part would be with Rama. Okay, let us go to Gimel. Gimel is fairly innocent and straightforward. Kishan Nasr Chaticha Machmas Achalov, when a piece of meat becomes usher because it got milk in it, Nasas Kol Chaticha Isser, the whole piece becomes straight. That's Isser is just a phrase for Nevela, right? Chatichah Nas Nevela. The ambition of Achirish, and if you then take that piece and cook it with other pieces, so Arshish Lamatel Kula, then, since it's already considered to be a piece of trait, The whole pot needs to be 60 times the whole chaticha, or else it's going to be treif. Now we just add something which is coming from much later. This is something that's, again, all these problems with your day is that, you know, like every line is really a simon elsewhere because everything ties into everything. Just one of the ways in which Isra Hedger is harder than El Chasnuga or El Chasavas or El Chasavas, for example, where everything does not tie into everything. But he points out that there are sometimes two different, that when a treif piece of meat falls into your stew, there are two different problems. One is the tam of the treif meat, and the other is the be'en of the treif meat. Right? One is the taste of the treif meat goes into your stew. The other is that the piece of meat is treif. So what happens here when you have a basar chanan lands in your stew? There are two issues. One is tam of treif. And what do we do then? Let's do a little flow chart. If the kedera is 60 times the chaticha, then it's mutter. If the kedera is 59 times the chaticha, then it's all treif. Okay, now there's another problem. If it's all treif, it's all treif. But even if the kedera is 60 times the chaticha, there's another problem. The tam of this chaticha is batal in the kedera, right? Whatever gravy juice comes out of this chaticha is batal shish in the pot. But the piece is still treif. There's the tam out of the piece itself. So now you get to issue two in this flowchart, only according to this side. What about the N treif? The piece itself is still treif. You can't eat that piece. So what's the rule of bittul of the N? The rule of bittul of tam in one number is, someone summarize me the rules of bittul of tam in one number. Noah, summarize me the rule of bittul tam in one number.
Shishim.
Right. Shishim v'zehu. Why? As we'll see, I'm not saying everyone agrees. We paskin. Because Chazal made a rule of thumb estimate that in general, whatever is less than a 60th can't be tasted. Whatever is more than a 60th might be tasted. Now, depending on what it is, but we want to make a general rule. Right? Obviously, bland things might be bottled in 30, but they couldn't make a different rule for everything. So they said, you know, 60 is enough that you can't taste all normal things. So therefore, we assume if it's 1 to 59, you might be able to taste it. And if it's 1 to 60, then you can't taste it. What's the rule of bittul of be'en? Let me give you an example, because you can have tam without be'en or be'en without tam. How can you have tam without be'en? For example, you could have tam without be'en if a piece of ham falls into my vegetable soup, and then I see it, and it cooks, and then I remove it and throw it in the garbage, because it's a piece of ham, it's not a vegetable. Then only the juice of the ham went into my soup. So that's tam without be'en, bittul of shishim. Sometimes you can have be'en without tam. How can you have be'en without tam? You have three or five or 100 cups of wine. One cup is treif wine. The other cups are kosher wine. And, you know, the shell game, you don't know which cup is which, right? Or you have, I don't know, you have 10 oranges, and one is a treif orange, and nine are kosher oranges, and you don't know which is which. What's that? It was just a muscle. It was just a vague comparison.
Yeah,
that's why I didn't mean it as a full comparison.
We're in a vacuum.
Zero gravity. Anyway, no, but zero gravity. Okay, so what do you do in that case? Then what's the rule? In this case, you might have, well, so let's see what happens. So, says, makira, mashlicha, makiris, not necessarily. How about the bed of treif? There are two possibilities. Makira, makirosa. If you know which piece is treif, so it looks different, then it's very poshut. Remove it, right? Then you don't have you have a stew, but you know what? It was a vegetarian stew, and this one piece of meat fell in, so you see a piece of meat, you remove it. Or it's a fleshic stew, but this piece of meat is a triangle, and the other piece of meat are squares. So you can tell, and you can remove it. This piece of meat is, you know, is beef and the rest is turkey, you can tell you can remove it. But what if an anal Akira? You don't know which piece is which. Now you really have a Tarobus of the M. You don't know which piece is which. Right? The Tom is Buttle. But here you have 30 pieces of meat in your stew. One is trafe, and you don't know which it is. That's a Tarobus of the N. Anyone know what the rule of Tarobus of the N is? Is 60 a relevant number?
No.
We say no. 60 is not a relevant number. Rather, only one factor is relevant. What is that factor?
Majority.
So it's Buttle or Robe, but there's one relevant factor. When it comes to the rows of the N, you're right.
What type of
right, whether or not it is? Royalist copy, which is really a subcategory of Hashivas. Because we'll see there are many different ways to measure Hashivas. By piece of meat, it's royalist copy. By other things, there are other ways to measure Hashivas. Whether it's Chashiv or not, the rule is, if it's not Chashiv, it's Buttle or Robe. If it is, I mean, there's a whole simon about this. Simon Koftes. If it's not Chashiv, it's Buttle or Robe. If it's Chashiv, it's not Buttle, even Be'elith. So in some ways, the Tarobus of the N could be much more Chomer. In some ways, more Kal, in some ways, more Chomer, right? Meaning, if I jumble one treif meatball with two kosher meatballs, but I don't cook them, there's no Nesinus Tam, then it's very Kal, Buttle, Mishtayim. But I jumble one kosher steak, one treif steak, with 1,000 kosher steaks, now they're all treif. The steak is very Chashiv. So that's exactly what we say. We say, is what the Shulchan Aruch says. Again, it's not really our simon. It's really simon of test. But, you know, everything comes up everywhere. V'im einam akira harote motabachol ha-chatichos asuras im chatichos ha-isar ru'u yalez kabit. Okay, what does he say? Then it depends. If it's a chaticha haru'uya lehez kabit, then all the chatichos are asuros, even though the broth and the vegetables are mutter. If it's ain't a ruya les kabe means right to honor a guest, right? Like even nowadays, right? What do you call serving refreshments? Kibud, right? So that's les kabe. Then it's all mutter. Okay, it's just logic. You just have to remember, whenever you see a tarobus, right, the first rule of not getting fooled is whenever you see a tarobus, you have to ask yourself, is this a tarobus of the ends, a tarobus of Tom, or both? Right? For example, if you knew this piece of triangle and took it out, you'd only have a tarobus of Tom. If you don't know which piece it is, you have a tarobus of both. Right? Each case could be different. Right? If I have a bunch of meatballs on my counter and I don't know which is which, that's only a tarobus of the end. If I then cook them in a pot, that's also, now it's a Tarobus of Ben and a Tarobus of Tom. If I have all the cups of wine and I pour them into a big barrel, now it's only Tarobus of Tom. There's no wine Ben there. Okay, so this is pretty straightforward.
Simply the chocolate case is not really scabbing.
What?
Simply is the chocolate case is not really scabbing. That could be.
It sounds in Sif Beis, meaning from the beginning of Sif Beis, like we knew which piece it was. Meaning, the beginning of Sif Beis, where we know which piece it is. Right? And therefore, there's no issue of root and scrap. We know which piece it is.
Yeah,
we know which piece it is. How do we know which piece it is? Because the Shulchan Aruch says, is the piece 20 times the drop? Is the neighbor 20 times the piece? It sounds like we know which piece it is. And the end, we don't know which piece it is. But in the end, we stirred it, and the milk went everywhere, and there was nothing wrong with this piece anyway, so it was okay. In the end, the piece was never Hanan, so who cares if we know where it is? Meaning, the part we learned today, you ended up in with the piece never became Hanan. According to all shot, it wasn't Hanan, so it's not trace anyway, so it doesn't matter. And in the part we learned yesterday being Sunday, you know which piece it was, so it wasn't an issue.
So the piece in Beis, you take it out, we assume Han came from the whole entire bus, piece of bus.
Correct. You took it out after it was already in for a while. Right, you stirred it, left it in, and then took it out. That's the assumption. And if not, you just have to apply this. Okay, here I just want to mention a very, very sharp Rav Chaim. Even though he's not Nogei Lamaisa, but the Beis Yosef in Gimel, I'd mentioned this earlier, but the Beis Yosef only mentioned in Gimel. Right? He quoted the sheet of the Ravid and maybe the Rif. The Rif leaves out Hanan, which is very strange because we seem to pass in Hanan. Why does the Rif leave out Hanan? Perhaps because of the Ravid. What does the Ravid say? The Ravid says a few things. But one of the things the Ravid says, I'll just open up our handy dandy Ravid.
Is this already enough?
The what?
Is this already enough?
No. So far, I'm just going through the Beis Yosef. Okay. Says the Ravid, right here on this Rambam. Kasra, he says a few things. But one of the things he says, Anu omrim shel shamanu kolachaticha nasas devela elo ledas Reb Yehuda, the machrim min bemino, afol the Rabbanan lo. Okay. Then he goes on to say other things, which kind of ties in. Says the Ravid, Hanan is only true according to Rabbi Yehuda, not according to the Chacham. Remember, Yehuda holds min bemino lo batel. We pass like the Chacham, and the min bemino is batel. But Yehuda says min bemino is lo batel at all, right? Remember, bein, be, machos asuros, bein, bekachim, bein, all the different examples. So let's just review what this means. Hanan comes up twice in Shas, Daf Kuf, Ches, and Daf Kuf. Both of those were saying that it becomes Hanan, the meat becomes Hanan, and then it answers all the other meat, regardless of how much it is, because min benino lo bat. Meaning both cases of Hanan and Shas, we're talking about meat that became Hanan and then was cooked with other meat, and now is usher, even if it's 100-1, because min benino lo bat. That's true. The question is that relevant? So let's just see what Hanan means. Let's say, right, the chaticha, there was a chaticha that was not sustainable, right? The milk, chalav went into the chaticha. Now what? And then, that's step one. Then B, that chaticha went into a kederas basar. I don't mean a fleshic pot, I mean a stew cooking meat. Right? What would happen? Or anything else for that matter. Right? So what would happen? So, lefi, what is in the Gemara? What is the Mefurish in the Gemara? Lefi Rabbi Yehuda. That's Mefurish in the Gemara. The Gemara only discussed it according to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Lefi Rabbi Yehuda, what would happen now? What would happen now is very pashut. Everything is asur. Regardless of the ratio, because min bemino lo batel, right? So even if the chaticha was only 1/1000th of the stew, it's still a lasser because min bemino lo batel. That's what it says in the Gemara. But Sarah says kol chatichos kulan neishen mina. That's what it says in the Gemara. Now it never says in the Gemara what about the chachamim, which is how we pass it, right? It's not Mefurish the Gemara. What about Lefi Chachamim? But what do the vast majority of Rishonim and all the Poskim say according to the Chachamim? Well, let's just translate that to the terms of the Chachamim, right? How would you translate that to the terms of the Chachamim, Isaac? So here we have two Shitas. One Shita is the Rambam and most Rishonim and the Poskim, they say, well, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that means once it's Hanan, it answers any amount of meat, because meat and meat is not batel. And according to the Chachamim, who will min bemino is batel, what would it do? It would answer, well, in min bemino, you can't necessarily measure this. No, it would answer up to 60 times its size, right? It says, that. Is 60 times the chaticha than its mutter, if the kedera is 59 times the chaticha, then it's aser. Right? Minus bottle b'shisha. But what that means is they also hold from Hanan. Rabbi Yehuda says, now it's nevela and it's aser mimimino forever. Chum say, now it's nevela, it's aser up to 60 times its own size, like a real nevela would. However, the Ravid and maybe the Rif, just a theory Haran has, as to why the Rif leaves this out, could have said, because you just pasuk against the Mandar Hanan. But that's very difficult, because that would seem to be against the normal Kalei Psak. Okay, why did the Rif leave out Hanan. So maybe because he helped like the Ravid. He says nope. Meaning, Hanan. He says no, Hanan. There's no Hanan according to Rachamim. And if there's no Hanan, what would be the rule be? The rule would be that does the Kedira need to be 60 times the Chaticha? No, the Chaticha is not Hanan. The Kedira just needs to be 60 times the Tipa. Right? Against everything we've said until now, there is no such thing as Hanan. Right? No such thing as Hanan. No. As long as the Kedira is 60 times the Tifas Chalav, everything is mutter. Right? There's no such thing as Hanan. That would change a lot. Since we've asked like the Chum, there's no such thing as Hanan, that would make a lot of things much easier. You know, because a lot of mess ups, again, in industrial kashrus, they never use bithel of anything. I mean, the whole point of the OU is not to say that, oh, there's isser grip with bottle of shisha. If something has an OU, that means they don't put in any isser. But mess ups happen, and you ask people of the OU, when mess ups happen, often Hanan comes into play. So, what does a mess up happen? It often doesn't mean that they accidentally put lard into the cookie instead of, you know, canola oil. No, it means they, into the cookie, they have, you know, I don't know, some, you know, I don't even know what ingredients, they flavoring, and they bought a flavoring without a hechsher instead of a flavoring with a hechsher. So what happens then? Do you do a recall? So they go check the flavoring they got without a hechsher. They put an accident instead of flavoring with a hechsher. What does it have in it? And often the answer will be, well, flavorings are actually a little trickier for reasons we'll get to, but it has something treif. Yeah, but the treif is about shisha in the end. Yeah, when they made the flavoring, the treif was more than shisha, and now it's Hanan, and now it's going to be a problem, right? Without Hanan, as long as the treif is less than a 60th, you're okay. With Hanan, the treif could be 1/3,000th, and it could still be a problem, right? That creates big issues.
Right.
Yeah, so according to the Ravid, there's no Hanan, and you're good to go, right? Okay, we'll see other reasons why you're not allowed to know Hanan. What?
The flavoring is now less than why?
What?
If the treif thing like flavor is less than
No, the treif thing is a 50th of the flavor, and the flavor is a 50th of the product. That would be a Hanan problem. Okay, says the Ravid, there's no Hanan, because you don't have Hanan. Okay, Reb Chaim there, on this Rama, Perkas Vox Machol Suris asks, what's Pshat? I mean, he ties it to more things. He says, what's Pshat in the Ravid? The Ravid doesn't make any sense. Either something's Hanan or it's not Hanan. Meaning, either it turned into a piece of treif or it didn't turn into a piece of treif. Why does that make a difference to a whole like Rabbi Yehuda the Chacham? Like Rabbi Yehuda the Chacham argue, if it is treif, would it be bottle or not? But either it's treif or it's not. If it's treif, then it's treif according to Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim and just work out the equations. And if it's not treif, it's not treif. Why should it make a difference whether you hold like Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? That's Reb Chaim's question. And the answer, yeah?
I'm not answering the question because they disagree about meaning regarding making
things possible.
Like, very simply put.
So they disagree about min bamino. Hold on. When the milk went to the meat, that wasn't min bamino. Right? Did it make it Hanan or not? Why should Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim disagree yet? They disagree after stage 8 that it becomes Hanan.
The stage of Amino comes after the
right, the stage of Amino comes after it was or wasn't Hanan. So it's a little funny. They argue about stage B. Min Bamino, Batel or not Batel. But either it was Hanan after stage A or it wasn't. Stage A was not Min Bamino. So it's a good question, no? So says Reb Chaim, he says, what do you have to say? I think it has to be right. I can't think of any other husband for the right. Meaning, and where's the Ravid coming from? Misvara, you wouldn't say the Ravid. You would say, look, after stage A, either it's Hanan or not. We haven't yet come out to Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. But the Ravid says, coincidence that Hanan only appears in Rabbi Yehuda Shita and Shas. So the Rambam would say yes. And the Ravid says, no, it must be only for Rabbi Yehuda. Why? So says Reb Chaim like this. He says, it must be, he says, and this ties into his famous Chakir about Tom Ke'ikr. He says, it must be that the status of Hanan is, that after stage A, it has an in-between status, this piece. What do you mean by in-between status? So, let's think of what happened. The milk mixed into the meat, right? That became basar b'chalav. But then when you drop the meat into the stew, the milk left the meat. Meaning, this meat tasted like basar b'challav in stage A. Then as soon as you drop it in the stew, it stops tasting like basar b'challav because the milk goes out into the rest of and dissipates into the rest of the stew. So what's cases of Hanan? He says, now, not literally after stage A, but already once stage B starts, what happened? This piece was basar b'challav, but now it's not basar b'challav anymore. Now it's not basar b'challav anymore because the challav leaves. So what does Reb Chaim say? Reb Chaim says like this. Now the chaticha is basar b'challav. Afterwards. After A, the chaticha is basar b'challav. But after B, ketan after, when it happens, right? I don't mean a long time after. In B, and here he makes an assumption, which is going to be machlokes rishonim. When you then drop this piece of meat into the next pot, the milk leaves this piece of meat and goes through the next pot. So now, what happens now? This chaticha was basar b'challav, but it's not really basar b'challav anymore because now it doesn't taste like milk anymore because the milk dissipated. You sort of cleared out, you laundered out the milk. Okay, that's the whole point. Hanan, once it's basar b'challav, it's down to vela forever. Says Reb Chaim, you want to know what's the status? We thought either something that was basar b'challav, but then got laundered out a little. We thought either it stays a chetzah shel basar b'challav forever, or it's totally mutter. Either Hanan or not. So say Hanan, say not. What does that do? Says Reb Chaim, what's his big finish? Is that this status Hanan is in between. It's not really basar b'challav. It's not really basar b'challav. It's not an iser gomer basar b'challav. Hanan doesn't mean it's an iser gomer basar b'challav forever, like everyone else thinks. Hanan means that it's a special din that once this piece was usher, once it stays usher. But it's not an iser gomer basar b'challav. It's just a lower level iser of Hanan. Right? So that's what's Reb Chaim's chiddush. Reb Chaim makes two chiddushim. His first chiddush is, again, I would have thought, either don't say Hanan, now the piece becomes mutter. Or say Hanan, and now the piece stays basar b'challav. Says Reb Chaim's chiddush that what does Hanan mean? Is that, this is the Grach's chiddush, Hanan equals, it's not real basar b'challav now, but once the piece was usher, it stays usher. It's like a generic isser. Hanan says, no, once it's usher, it stays usher, but it's not basar b'challav mamash. It's a lower level isser called Hanan. That's Reb Chaim's kiddush. Hanan is not an isser gomer basar b'challav. Now this piece is a lower level isser called Hanan. Yeah.
It's not tamdeh.
When it tasted like milk.
I'm saying the isser, this generic isser, is not a tam-based isser.
No, it's just that once chaticha has an identity of isser, it can never be mutter again.
Well, we would treat it in terms of whether it's mitzvatel or not, we would say, you teach him also anyway, the tam-based.
No, give me a second. I won't fully have it. Okay. But yeah.
Generic, then why does the origin matter?
Did the Ravid say what he holds about Shari Surin? Did he weigh in on that? He might have. I think he did tell us the Shita there, did he? Did I write down anywhere all the Shitas? No, the Ravid holds that applies to Shari Surin as well. Yeah. Okay. Now, what does Reb Chaim say? Here's the sharp part of Reb Chaim. He says, there's a big difference between the fact that min b'mino asers any amount, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and the fact that a tarovas asers up to shishim, according to the Chachamim. And here he says something very sharp. This based on his famous Chakir in Perkdes Vav Hilchos Machalos source, which we'll get to. But Min Bemino, okay, what's the Sawat, says Reb Chaim. He says Reb Chaim, I should have made it color Reb Chaim, Seder. According to Rabbi Yehuda, why, if we have a Tarovis, is it always us no matter what the amount? Okay, what is Rabbi Yehuda's catchphrase? Min Bemino in a bottle. It's a lack of bittle. Rabbi Yehuda is a lack of bittul. This is all the Reb Chaim. According to the Chachamim, why, if there's a tarovis of min bamino or shalom bamino, any kind of tarovis, is an usher up to 60? Anyone know the phrase for that isser? For that concept? I don't know if we've officially hit it yet. Basically, 60 is really taste. Why, if you can taste the isser, does the whole tarovis become isser? A taste asers, right? The Chachamim say Tam Kidiker. Now, there are two ways to understand Tam Kidiker, but what Reb Chaim understands is that a Tam is Oser. Says Reb Chaim in a very sharp long list. He says the fundamental difference in Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda says, Mimimino in a bottle, there's a lack of bitter. Chachamim don't say there's a lack of bittel. Min b'mino is bottle, and min b'shein amino, but everything is bottle. But a tam is an oser. For the Chachamim, a tam of iser is oser. For Yehuda, min b'mino is not oser, it's just not bottle. If so, says Reb Chaim, hold on a second. If you have mamish and iser, let's say mamish, a piece of Nevela mamish, not nasa nevela, whatever, like actual piece of nevela. You went to ShopRite and bought a piece of nevela and mix it with your meat, cooked it with your meat. Then according to Yehuda, it's usher even 1 in 1,000. Why? Because of a lack of bittel. According to Chachamim, it's usher 1 to 59. Why? Because the tam is an oser. Really, it should be bottle beruv, but the tam is an oser. But what if you have a piece of chanan meat? It's not mamish an iser, but it's not mutter. Right? It's a generic iser. This chaticha, it has an iser on it, but it's not mamish an iser. It's just a chaticha that is usher to eat. It's this low-level generic iser. Says Reb Chaim, this low-level generic iser, according to Yehuda, is not batel min bamina. Min bamina ain't a batel. So it's not batel. It's usher. According to Chachamim, Chachamim sheet is not a lack of bittel. Chachamim sheet is an active tam, is an active oser. This generic low-level iser in chaticha is not enough to be oser other things. It's not enough to be oser other things. Therefore, he says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's Hanan, and Min Bamino is not bottle, so it's still there, so you can't eat it. You can't eat anything. But according to Chachamim, let's read up. Just see his sheet on Chachamim one more second. Tam Ke'ikr means it should be bottle berov. But Tam is Chalos Oser. Again, but Tam is Oser. For the Chachamim, you need to make something Oser, you need a Chalos Oser of Tam of Treif. For Yehuda, you just need something to be inedible and not to be bottle. So says, let me just summarize Reb Chaim. Says Reb Chaim, this piece of meat that you drop into the stew is not mamish a piece of nevela. It's just something that's usser. It's not mamish an isser. It's just a piece of chaticha that you're not allowed to eat. So according to Yehuda, if it's not mamish a chalos isser, it's just a piece you're not allowed to eat. According to Yehuda, there's a piece you're not allowed to eat, which is not batel, so you can't eat anything. So there's a piece that you can't eat that's not batel there. According to Chachamim, really it is batel. There's just tam is osir. Only tam of a real nevela is oser, or of a real trade food is oser. Tam of something that's just this generic thing that you're not supposed to eat, but it's not really an iser, is not oser. It's strong enough to not be bottle, according to Yehuda. It's not strong enough to create a new oser and everything, according to the Chachamim. That's his point. It's an in-between level, strong enough to passively sit there and not be batel, which is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, but not strong enough to actively create a chalos isra on the whole pot, which is the shita of the Chachamim. And the chap of Rav Chaim is that, and then this is a chakira of Chaim, but this is the way he decides it's chakira, and this is chakira of Perpetua as well. Does Tam Ke'ikr really the same as Rabbi Yehuda, just means it's a lack of bittel, or is Tam Ke'ikr an active oser? It says that the difference between the Chachamim, not that Chachamim think there's bittel b'shishim, and Rabbi Yehuda thinks there's no bittel in any number. No, it's that Chachamim think, let's say it was 1 to 20 ratio, would Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda be the same? No. Rabbi Yehuda would say, it's not bittel just because there's no bittel. Chachamim would say, no, there is bittel. But it's not bottle because it's a new chalos iser. So if the chachamim are based on a chalos iser up to shishim, where Yehuda is just a lack of bittel, then if you have something that's barely iser, it's a very weak iser, then it's not enough to create a new chalos iser. So according to the chachamim, there's no iser at all. But it's enough to not be bottle. It's enough to be passive, just not enough to be active. Therefore, Yehuda would say it's not bottle, and the chachamim would say it can't create a chalos iser, and that's gotta be the svara of the Reinfeld. We don't pasco like the Ravid, so don't worry. If you don't like Rav Chaim's svar, we don't pasco like it. But that's got to be the svar of the Ravid. That Hanan is an in-between status, and as an in-between status, it can't create an Isser, but can just remain as it is and not be Bottle. Rabbi Yehuda, which is based on a lack of Bittle, would say, well, it's this in-between thing, low-level Isser, which is not Bottle, so you can't eat anything. So the low-level Isser in here is not Bottle. Chaman would say, no, it's only a problem if you can taste it. And it's only a problem if you can taste it because that's a new iser. It's not strong enough to make a new iser, and therefore, it's batel lagamri. That's Rav Chaim. Herentes of Hilchas Machlos
HaSubos. Does this Rav Chaim also go into Minhag
Mina? And according to this Rav Chaim, in Min B'She'eino Mino, even Rabbi Yehuda would admit there's no Hanan. Because in Min B'She'eino Mino, Rabbi Yehuda is the same as the Chachamim. So in Mimbisha Eino Mino, even Rabbi Yehuda would say there's no Chanan. Meaning even Rabbi Yehuda would say, if this fell into vegetable soup, that you don't need 60 times the Chaticha. Why? Because there is Betol. It's meats and vegetables. Oh, but you have a new Oser for this taste. No. The taste of this generic low-level Isser can't create a new Oser. So you would say there's no problem. Correct. So let's just make ourselves a little secret passage. Or chaticha. Or chaticha into Yurakos Lekuliyama. Right? Chaticha into Yurakos Lekuliyama. The right would say there's no problem. You don't need 60 times the chaticha. Why? Because it's not really treif. And it is batel. Maybe she'ina may know it's batel. Ah, tam ke'ikr? No, tam ke'ikr is a new powerful oser. Isn't that powerful enough to make a new oser? So I think that answers your question. Okay, that's Rav Chaim. You can like Rav Chaim, you cannot like Rav Chaim. I can't think of a good other logical explanation of the Ravid personally. Maybe someone else can. Maybe someone else has. I didn't look at all the acronyms. I was so bedazzled by this Rav Chaim. But in any case, we don't paskin that way.
So, I mean, we do hold that this Seamus or those great topics.
Well, there are two ways we could say why we don't hold like the Ravid. Either because we hold that, no, Hanan makes it a total Isser Bas B'Chalav, the same as any other Bas B'Chalav in the world. Or it could be that Tam Ke'ikr is just a lack of Bittel. Tam Ke'ikr is not an Oser, it's not a new din. Tam Ke'ikr just means if you could taste something, you can't ignore it. And if you can't ignore it, then it's not Bittel. And it's just a passive lack of Bittel.
Shame,
right, it's not a shame time. It's just a tendency of not being bottom. Right, so you could say one of those two things. Natural Chaim's Chakira and Perktes Vav is Tam Ke'ikr. New Oser is just a tendency of not being bottom. Obviously, he holds like the first line, which is how we got to here. Okay, Sif Dalit. Here we get to the real, you know, halachamais, the real reason why if you have one of these mess ups in the factory, Sfarad could be a lot more makel than Ashkenaz. So, Noah, when you have a chance. Oh, it's Isaac. Hard to keep track of the... I got it.
alive, but why didn't win?
Okay. What? I'm still alive, not to worry. Okay. Sif Dawud. Here we have the famous machlokas between Rabbi Yerfayim and Rabbi Tam, although there are lots of other Rishonim on both sides. But it's in Tosos. Tosos brings down the machlokas between Rabbi Yerfayim. Which Rabbi Yerfayim? Rabbi Yerfayim from Bali Tosos. Rabbi Yerfayim from which city?
Orleans. Paris.
Regensburg. Okay, lo mishnah. Doesn't really matter. Rabbeinu Ephraim the Baal Tosos, not to be confused with the Rabbeinu Ephraim who the Baal Mor likes to quote, was the Talmud of the Rif from Kilochemet. Lots of other Ephraims also in history. Anyway, so Rabbeinu Ephraim versus Rabbeinu Tam in Tosos have a fundamental machlokas. What's the fundamental machlokas? Before we see why they each get their shitas, let's just point to the machlokas. Really, what you. When do we say Hanan? Only by Basu B'Chalav or even by Sha'ari Sarim? Okay. Meaning until now, the case is only in Basu B'Chalav, right? It's been Chalav into Basar, right? We say Hanan, forget the Raven, etc., right? If you have Chalav into Basar, now it's Hanan. What if you have, and here's what one of the more confusing tricks that Hashem played on us is, what if you would have, what do I use as a counterexample? Chalev into Basar. Or anything else for that matter, right? Or Basar Nevela into Basar Shchuta, or anything you could possibly imagine. Meaning, Tarov is of Shari Sur. Isra Heter. Now remember, mixtures of meat and milk are supposed to be dealt with from Simon. Pei Zayin and Thut Tzadik Zayin, those Basar B'Chalav. Mixtures of kosher trade are supposed to be dealt with. Simon Tzadik Ches Du Kafir Aleph and Hilchas Teruvos. Okay, but here it's a concept that we want to know what it applies to, so it comes up here. Do we say Hanan or not? This is a fundamental machlokas Rishonim.
The Gemaras are all talking about Basar B'Chalav.
It's actually, the funny part is, there are only two Gemaras of Hanan. One of them is Basar B'Chalav and one of them is Sha'ari Sur.
Oh, yeah.
Which makes you really wonder. I mean, you'll see that there's a reason. But certainly the Pasha Pshat, there's two Gemaras. Daf Kuf Ches is about Tipas Chalav Shanafla. That's what we've been talking about until now. Then there's Daf Kuf. I should have Daf Kuf someplace. There are only two Gemaras of Hanan. What does it say in Daf Kuf? What's the case in Daf Kuf? Case in Daf Kuf is, they're both according to Rabbi Yehuda, I said. But Daf Kuf is, if you listen to the case, says Rav Darshint. Okay, Darshar, Chana Chatichah shal Nevela shal Dug Tomei, etc. Chatichah Dug Nevela or Dug Tomei, meaning treif meat or treif fish, says Rav, Kain shal Satama Chatichah, once the piece of treif meat or fish gave a ta'am to a kosher piece of meat or fish, Chatichah Asmanas Nevela, that next kosher piece of meat or fish, which now at the time of trade becomes the vela, boseres kolach, the oskul neishin mina, now answers everything else, min mino eno batal. So, there's two sugyas. One is Basar B'Chalav, 50%, 50. That makes you understand the shita of Rabbeinu Tam. Says Rabbeinu Tam, also Hanan. But Rabbeinu Ephraim says, nope, there's no Hanan. What's a practical laftamina? Let's just make sure we know the practical laftamina. Okay, don't be insulted if I just explain this and you know it already. I know you know it already. I'm just being on the safe side. You know, if the chilev was 1 cc and this buser is 20 cc's, okay, the buser is obviously usher, it's 20 to 1, right? And then the Basar falls into a gedera of other things. So, according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, how big does the gedera have to be in order to be mutter?
Are we rescaling? Are we?
What?
Is it say 160, or you have to say 1 to
63. 63.
Sorry, 60 times 21.
Right. No, you know what? Let's call it 20, because let's say we go by volume, not weight, and the chelo gets absorbed in the busser. So it doesn't add any value. According to your Ephraim, you need 60 in the kedera mutter, because there's no chanan. What fell into the kedera? 20 ounces of kosher meat and 1 ounce of kosher chelev. So you only need 60. Meaning, 60, according to 60 cc's. According to Rina Tom, you need 1,200. Right? You see how that's a big difference. You know, if that piece had been 50, it would be even more striking. If that piece had been 59.9, even more, no, 59.9999, no, etc., that would be as striking as it gets. Okay, big difference. So, says the, so that is the machlok senior mean of Tam and Ravenu Ephraim. Really, what happens if you go through the Tosos, and Dafkof, there's a big Tosos about this, and Dafkof from an Aleph, and you go through the Beis Yosef here, and you go through all the other Rishonim. Basically, what happens is you go through all of, Rabino Ephraim brings down case after case after what? We're not going to go through all that right now. But on the one hand, Hanan appears twice in Shas. Once by Basmodel, once by Shari Surah. See, it's Pasha Rabino Tam is right. On the other hand, Rabino Ephraim brings down case after case after case after case. Basically, goes through all of Shas. And in every time you have like a two-step Tarovis, Treif mixed with Kosher, and then all mixes with other things, you only need six times the Treif. All over Shas. So, this wouldn't necessarily bother the Ravid, because I would say, oh, that's not Rabbi Huda, this is Rabbi Huda. But, assuming we're not like the Ravid, I mean, this is a good Ravid for the Ravid. How come many other sugars throughout Shas, we never heard that you need 60 times everything, just 60 times the original Isser? Oh, that's a haha word, that's Moshe Nomino. But, basically, the action here is, and we'll actually this a little more soon, how come all over Shas, it looks like there's no Chanan in Shari Surin? So, Rabbi Ephraim says no Chanan Shari Surin. And the one place where it says Chanan Shari Surin is Lav Dafka. And Reina Tam and the other Rishonim will hope like him have to come up with all kinds of answers. That case is different, that case is different, that case is different, all kinds of answers. And we'll see what some of the answers are. We'll see what some of the answers are. Just like throw out a few examples. In Daf Tzadi Chesem and Aleph, it says that if Chilev landed on a basket of meat, hot basket of meat, then it's supposed to be shishim. It says, why? But first it lands on one piece, and then it should be chanan, and then it gets mixed with the other pieces, etc. Why do we say chanan? The answer is, made in prime, because it's shari surin. In the Mishnah Trumos, it says, if you mix truma and chulin, and then that gets mixed with more chulin, you only need 100 times the original truma. What about chanan? The answer is no chanan, but shari surin. Or in Avodah Zarah, it says, if treif wine gets mixed with water. If treif wine gets mixed with water and then it falls into more water or all different combinations, you only need 60 connected to the original treif wine. Why don't we say chanan? Right? Basically, all of these cases, when the Chazal told you to do Hagolah, when the Torah told you, remember Klei Midyan, you have to do Hagolah and Klei Midyan. Not like we, what do we do? What do we do before Haggadah? What does the rabbi tell you to do Haggadah when? What? When does the rabbi tell you to do Haggadah if something came truth? Correct, after 24 hours. We'll get to this. Why? Because the problem is this. Haggadah gets the truth out of the kli in boiling water. Then the truth goes into the boiling water, makes the boiling water truth, makes the kli truth again. How does it help? This is wait 24 hours. Then the taste that comes out of the kli is tam lufgam and it doesn't make the boiling water truth. Midoraisa, after 24 hours, you don't even have to do Hagolah. So obviously the Torah told you to do Hagolah within 24 hours. Okay, why doesn't the taste make the water treif and then make the pot treif again? So the answer is, because like the taste will only be a little taste in the water and then it'll only have a little treif in it. And it'll go into the pot and have a little treif in it. Then you do Hagolah again and a little treif will come out and be called to Mishishim. But if you hold to a Chanan, then as soon as you do Hagolah, all the water is Chanan. And, you know, you're back where you started. And the whole pot is Chanan. You're back where you started. Okay, many rayas. We'll see how to get out of all those rayas. Now, that's Rabbi Ephraim. Who holds like which? let's just point out some of the Rishonim who holds like which that the Beis Yosef quotes. He quotes that I think these are all the ones that are quoting the Beis Yosef here. Who holds like Rabbeinu Tam? The Re and the Smag and the Smak and the Mordechai and the Orzarua and the Sefer Ha'agur. The Sefer Ha'agur is like a later, one of the later Rishonim Ashkenaz. And who else did he quote? The Ravid and the Ram. Okay, anyone want to, anyone who's not afraid of a little racism or something here, want to tell me how you would characterize most of this list?
Ashkenazim.
Mostly Ashkenazim, not the Ravid and the Ram. Right? Meaning, this is not a purely, you know, Adati kind of sock. Who holds like Rabbeinu Ephraim? Who holds like Rabbeinu Ephraim? The Rambam, Lefi the Magid Mishnah. The Rambam never explicitly says anything, right? Because the Rambam didn't know necessarily this would ever be Machlokes Rishonim. But he only quotes Hanan by Basi B'Chalav. He doesn't quote Hanan about Shari Sirkin. So you put a reasonable deal. Yeah, that's a shot of the Rambam. You can't prove it, but it's a good argument from silence. Meaning, what do I mean a good argument from silence? If Hanan appears, if Hanan appears twice in Shas, and one is about Shari Surin, the Rambam skips that in Mishnah Torah, seems to apply. He doesn't think this Hanan is Shari Surin, right? The Ramban, the Rashba, and the Rush. Okay, clearly most of this list is Sfardi. So you might not be surprised to see where everyone ends up, right? So now let's read inside. Says the Mechaber, Lo Amru Hanan, Elo Basar B'Chalav, Lo B'Shari Surin. We only say Hanan about Basar B'Chalav, not Shari Surin. Do you have Nekudas and Chelev in your Shulchan Aruch?
No.
Okay, yeah, whoever printed my Shulchan Aruch put Nekudas in there just to avoid this. It's really a mean thing. Right? Like you wonder, you know, like, it's one of these things, like, when Hashem created the world, why did he make Chalav and Chelev the same consonants when he knew this would confuse people learning your dad? Right, I mean, obviously, only in the modern era did they start to put the kudos. Okay, so the answer is that, you know, there's a lot of tzaddik v'ra'ala that we don't understand. Maybe it's not an isayon, whatever it may be.
It's not like a yeshiva masurah.
I don't think they end up darshing anything. No.
At least, like.
No, it's a havmina, but we don't end up getting. Okay, whatever it is, anyway. Shenivla b'chaticha, ve'ein b'shishim levatlo, v'nesra, v'achakach bishlam achiros, ain't tzarkal shishim g'dei k'sayis chelev. You only need 60 times the one k'sayis of chelev. You don't need 60 times the 20 k'sayis of chaticha. Because there's no chanan b'shari surah. That is the mechaber. The mechaber is Rabbeinu Ephraim. The oz, he adds, afilo chaticha atzma chazers nos muteres. If the pot has 60, the truth is, the pot doesn't even need to have 60. The pot really only needs to have. Really, how much food do you need in this pot? You need 40. Why? Because if there's 40 cooking the pot and then the chaticha of 20 falls in, now you have 60 of heter, connected to the one of iser. Right? Because even the 20 of the chaticha counts towards the 60. 40 plus chaticha. Because remember, according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, the chaticha is not necessarily the chaticha is perfectly innocent chaticha, which just happens to be carried. You can't eat the whole chaticha, but the chaticha itself is perfectly innocent. It just happens to be carrying within it something treif. The chaticha itself is perfectly kosher. So if this chaticha of 20 lands in 40 cc's of, or kazesim, they use kazesim. This chaticha of 20 kazesim lands in 40 kazesim of cooking broth. Now there's a total of 60 kazesim here. It's enough to mevatel the chelev. And this piece becomes kosher again. Why does this piece become kosher again? Because all the chilev gets cooked out of it and dissipates throughout the whole stew. Okay, this is very controversial. There is a whole siman about this in Kuflav. Does the piece become kosher again or not, right? Which there are many ways of that. I mean, it's machlok zushalim, Torah versus the Rashba there. They could be arguing about b'mtzias. Will all the chilav leave the piece or will it not? Maybe a lot of chilav will stay in the piece. Or they could be arguing about din. Now, vada, the chilav will dissipate everywhere and it'll be, but there won't be any taste of chilav left. Maybe, could be arguing b'mtzias? No, maybe the piece will still taste like chilav because it'll get stuck there. Or maybe it won't. Or they could both agree that it doesn't taste like chilav. They're arguing in din. Even though we don't say chanan, maybe there's some sort of like minor chanan and this piece stays usher. Okay, that's machlokas. We'll get to that when we get to Siman Kofav. We'll see how they get this from the Gemara, etc. and Siman Kofav. Halacha l'maaseh, we're not getting into it now. There's just the stira. The Ramah later on Kofav accuses the Machaber of being forgetful. Because the Machaber here says that according to Rabbi Ephraim, I mean, according to Rabbi Tam, of course this piece of buster is never going to become buster again. That's the point of Hanan. It's permanently usher. Right? That's Pasha. That's what Hanan means. It's permanently ulcer. Even though Chaim's loving it, it's permanently ulcer as a very low level ulcer. It's still permanently ulcer. Right? According to Rabino Ephraim, the piece is never intrinsically ulcer. So, can you actually eat it after you cook in a big pot or not? The Machaber here says yes. The Machaber in Siman Kofav says no. So, steer a glue in the Machaber. The Ramah assumes he was just forgetful. The Taz. Assumes that he was just forgetful. Okay, forgetful or lavdavka, whatever you want. Maybe it's nicer to say lavdavka. You know, he's just writing lavdavka. Although I don't really understand what that means. Like, why would you write lavdavka? Like, if it's like a hint of one word, you say lavdavka, like you're adding a sentence. For us, afilu chitchas, because there's leos teres, which you didn't have to add that sentence. It can't be lavdavka. He's forgetful. Okay, the Shach says, yeah, Mestam Lechaber is forgetful, but like it's so hard to say that about the Heilug of Mechaber. Maybe I'll give you a really dochek pshat. He doesn't really mean the chaticha becomes mutter again. What he means is that if it's mixed with other chatichas and you don't know which it is, then it's bafel barov, even if it's chashuv, because it's the adavar chashuv is only not batel if it's intrinsically usher. Here, even if the piece is chashuv, it's not intrinsically usher, it just has some chilev inside it. The chilev inside is not chashuv. The chilev inside is not really miskabed. Okay, but not getting, that's a stira. Halacha l'maaseh, we paskin that if you have 60 sachakol in the pot, the chilev is batel, but this piece you still shouldn't eat. Okay, for exactly what reason shouldn't you eat this piece? We'll come back to that. It'll be a big halacha l'maaseh and a story that happened once in Mary Willig's house. So this line of the Mechaber is l'chura, a little forgetfulness. Now, what does the Ramah say, though? V'yesh omrim damrina b'chol yisur in chanan v'cheinu minik pashut v'ein l'shanos. We Ashkenazim. So getting back to, forget the Raivin, no one comes like the Raivin, but getting back to these questions of industrial pastures of mess-ups, they're very rarely bus b'chol of the mess-ups. It's usually shari surin. So a Sephardi would just say, no problem. Meaning a Sephardi would say, you could go find any product, and if you know that any possible trade from this product is less than 1.67%, less than a 60th, then you can eat it. An Ashkenazi would say, no, not so pashut. You have to know exactly how it's made, because usually products nowadays are made of 20 ingredients, and each of those ingredients are made in a factory from 20 other ingredients. So an Ashkenazi would say, no, no, no. To have something to be kosher, you have to know that not just it doesn't have more than 60th iser. None of the ingredients in it have more than 60th iser. Because if it has 2% of some ingredient, and that ingredient has 2% treif, then it's usher. Since that ingredient, 2% treif, was chanan, and now that ingredient is 1/50th, and usher the whole thing. So that's why for Ashkenazim, kashrus, again, lechatchila, the OU is not going to get no you unless the thing's blot. But if you mess up in kashrus, for Sephardim, it's no big deal. Again, not they put lard in. They bought an unhechted ingredient and put this into their cookies. What's the big deal? Come on, in the end, even the unhechted ingredient, how much treif could it have? It's not even more than a 60th of the cookie. But for Ashkenazim, we're all Ashkenazim here, that could be totally treif. Even though you'd say, what could be so bad about that ingredient? What could be so bad? It could be 1/50th treif. Now it's Hanan as if it's all treif. If it's all treif, now you put it in as, you know, 1.8% of your final product. Now it's not bottled, and it makes your whole product trade. So that's why it becomes much more sensitive. The Evid Kashrus becomes much more sensitive. Again, the Chach people just don't put trade through. But Kashrus mess ups become much more sensitive for not in your kitchen. In your kitchen, if you mess up, what do you mess up? No trade in your kitchen. You mess up Basra Chalav. Then it's the same for Ashkenazim. It's fired. You say Chanan. But Kashrus, in your kitchen, it's going to be equally problematic. But Kashrus mess ups in factories, which is very rarely Shilas Basra Chalav and much more commonly Shilas of. Shilas up Shari Surin for Sephardim are much, much more makel. For Ashkenazim are much more sensitive. Are much more sensitive in modern day kashrus, when you make things out of ingredients that are made out of ingredients, probably that are made out of ingredients, etc. Meaning, if you ask someone for the OU, you know, they say, no, it's not like they bring in like natural things. They bring in each thing from a different factory that's made of many things.
Are there any
Sephardi
agencies that
take that term for the mass industry? Yes. Now, again, this will be the no normal Orthodox kashrus would lechatchila say it's okay to put some treif in as long as it's bottle, etc. They would say, no, lechatchila, in what minute is lechatchila, right? But sure, you never heard of Badas Beit Yosef?
I don't know if they go to factories or if they rely on other
meanings. No, they go to factories or Rav Machbud. Technically, it's K-Money.
If you see an OU product, it's very possible that a lot of the ingredients are KLVD. Meaning like the ingredients that they put in.
No, every Hechsher uses ingredients from every other Hechsher. It's a complicated world out there. It's an interesting question. So let's say you're at a Sephardi. What would a Sephardi Hechsher really do in these cases? Yeah. You know, they probably not here just because the Ashkenazi would be upset because they rely on them. Okay, fair enough. You're right. Meaning, we live in a world where Sephardi and Ashkenazi, which once meant you lived in different continents almost, you know, now means next door neighbors, so we have to be more sensitive, which is why most Ashkenazis nowadays are machmir for chomers of both Sephardim and Ashkenazim, you know, except for very few things. You know, just because, okay, but theoretically.
Wait, so, we mentioned that we only be matched if it's blah. Does that mean that even Hanan, even if the word of Yabatli with Hanan, there's also throw out the stuff?
No, I'm talking about Lechachiva. The OU policy is lechachila, we're not giving you an OU unless it's 0.000% treif. Has to be all kosher or yasher. Bidi Evid, when you mess up, then they go by the din of the Shulchan Aruch to decide whether to make a recall. If there's a mistake, as long as about the Mashishim, they'll let it through. That's Bidi Evid. Yeah.
This time the Delvin question, I forgot about
the stuff that was part of it. Right, so gelatin is a little trickier because the gelatin is either all trade or all kosher, right? It's just made of pure pigs, right? So the problem with gelatin is that the post can say gelatin is a dover hamamid because it gives it its form, it gives it its texture. It's not really as mamid as rennet, it's not an enzyme, it doesn't do a chemical process, it's merely a physical process. Nonetheless, the post can assume since gelatin makes something a solid, it's a dover hamamid, so therefore the gelatin would not be bottled and then you'd have a problem. But this could also come up in the kitchen. Let's assume in the kitchen someone accidentally bought a, this can happen, you accidentally bought a sauce without a hechsher. Right, it used to have a hechsher, etc. You bought an unhechshered sauce of some sort and you put it in your toilet and then you realize that might very well depend if you're Sephardi or Ashkenazi because you go back to the sauce and what's the sauce? How much sauce is in your toilet? 40th, 50th, whatever, you look at the sauce. First ingredient, water. Second ingredient, corn syrup, whatever it may be. And then you have problematic things. Say, come on, all the treif is batel b'shishim. If you're Sephardi. But if you're Ashkenazi, you have to look at that sauce and say, whoa, hold on. Down number 10 in the ingredients is something treif. This sauce might be more than a 60th treif. Now the whole sauce is Hanan. Now if I put enough sauce to taste, that's probably more than a 60th of my cholent. Now my whole cholent is treif. So it could also happen in kitchen mess-ups, theoretically. Now I'm not saying this happens every day. But it's just interesting.
I once put on a dairy maple syrup in my cholent. Not really as a dairy.
Right. Well, although dairy would not be different for Sephardim and Ashkenaz.
So what about that? Yes.
Yeah. By the way, that's the classic, the most classic The most classic Hector is that if you mix something, which is OUD, with meat, you have to call the OU, and 90% of the time they'll tell you that it's not really milk. Obviously, I don't mean OUD yogurt. Something OUD that seems pirate, but it's OUD. Something OUD that seems pirate, if you mix it with meat, that's the experience. Call the OU. 90%, more than 90% of the time, they'll tell you it's not really milchik, it's just milchik equipment, or it has less than a 60th milk, so chachila we don't want to give a pariv. But almost all OUD products that don't seem milchik are really pariv.
So I called it was there coming. But my initial call was to the head of the friend, and he said, look at the ingredients and see what dairy
is. Correct. Yeah, look, that's what we do in my house. If you have an OUD product and there's no dairy in the ingredients, then you can eat it within 6 hours. In my family.
Without pulling
the OUD. Astronauts really don't 6 hours anyway, remember? Anyway. What? American Oreos were just OUD. When I first moved to Israel, they were Oreos with a British Oreos that they sold. Mahadran Oreos are always parif because they're wrapped on the chalav Yisrael. But they were British Oreos, told on the shelf, they were a big mishal. The American Olim would make aliyah. They would say, well, you know, these are Oreos. We're used to Oreos in America. You can eat them after the flesh meal because they're not really milchik. And the British Oreos are really milchik. You're the ingredients. They're milk. Or whey, technically. So you have to be careful. In any case, the Mahadran Oreos don't have anything because they are makbid on the chalav Yisrael. That's also the policy in my house. We don't buy non-chol Yisrael OUD in our house, but if the ingredients don't have any milk, then we'll buy it. Okay, but anyway, let's stop learning the policies of Bednar's house and go back to the policies of the Israelis community. Yeah, that's our minig. So our minig is we eat cinnamonies, which are OUD. I mean, I don't eat cinnamonies because it's not healthy. No, you have to consult with your doctor. I'm not such a Mosernik. If your doctor tells you can eat cinnamonies, then go ahead. If your doctor tells you not to eat cinnamonies and that you should eat healthy, then it's I'm not saying it's your rice, it can be written whenever this is their doctor, so you don't want to accuse everyone doing this rice. But Lachora or Chaim would want you to eat healthy if that was what your doctor said. And I'll give you some sobering facts. My doctor said to me, he says, when you're in your 20s, you can eat whatever you want and you're just fine. But when you get older, then you have to be more careful. Then you have to watch your weight and your this and your that and all these other things. Okay, so enjoy your cinnamonies while you can. Anyway, so my house, my kids eat cinnamonies, which are OUD, because there's not really any milk in them. So we're not worried about the fact that it's not Chol Yisrael. Also, you don't really need to worry about Chol Yisrael anyway, because it's really fine. But that's for another side. Back to the Ramah. So the Ramah paskins there's Hanan Bishar Isurim. Here's an interesting question. If there's Hanan Bishari, so what's the svara of Rabbi Yotam? No, what's the svara of Rabbi Ephraim? Is this svara easy to understand or hard to understand? Svara of Rabbi Ephraim and the Mechaber. I understand that's somewhat of a subject question. I think easy. His svara is very poshut. Do you want to explain to me the svara, Isaac? Exactly. Meat and milk are both mutter. So what's the cheftishal isser? The meat is not a cheftishal isser. The milk is not a cheftishal isser. What's the cheftishal isser? Obviously, when the milk and meat combine, it turns into a cheftishal isser. That's Hanan. But when chelev and basar combine, what's the cheftishal isser? The chelev. Like, what is the basar? Now, again, my grandmother would call the meat the chaticha asr, because you can't eat it. It's not really usher, so you can't eat it because it has isser inside, right? When you're a busser with chilev inside, say the chilev's treif. The busser is kosher, but tachlis, My grandmother called a bus or trafe because you get edicts that has trafe caleb inside. When it has caleb inside, what are you going to say? Oh, you can't edicts that has trafe milk inside. The milk and the meat are equal. Either they're both trafe or neither is trafe. Since something has to be trafe, they're both trafe. I think this is a very, very posh svara. What's the svara? The svara is that in Basar Bechalav, each was independently mutter. The iser is the combination. And therefore, once they combine, they both turn usser. That's Hanan and Basar Bechalav. And we pass Hanan and Basar Bechalav, right? The iser is combination, and therefore, the whole combination is the Cheftza Shel Isser. Meaning that's sort of undeniable. You can't deny the whole combination of the Cheftza Shel Isser. Right? Meaning, what's the Cheftza Shel Isser here? The meat and the milk are both the Cheftza Shel Isser once they're combined. Right? So, of course, if you didn't hold Shmanam, what would you say? You would say, okay, that's only while they still taste like each other. But if they stop tasting like each other, then it undoes it. You say, no, once it's usser, it's usser. But in Shari Surim, what's the isser? The isser is the chalev, right? The chalev was usser. The basar was mutter. Now when they mix, the chalev is usser, the basar is mutter. They're just mixed, so you can't eat either of them. Like, why do you have to make the basar, usser? No. Now it's usser because the chil was usser, the basar was mutter, so the chilev is still usser, and the basar is still mutter. Again, my grandmother would say, what do you mean, this basar is treif? She means practically you can't eat it, because if you eat the basar, you're eating the chilev inside it. But it's not really treif. Why did it become treif? Like, chilev is treif, basar is mutter. Now they're mixed together, so you can't eat both of them. But why should the basar become usser? That is the svar of the Mechaber.
Does this only apply when the basar falls entire? If it's falling something meat, then you could just say the same thing, that there's milk and there's a lot of basar. Even though it created a basar usser, but now that's the other basar, you could say the same svar as the chilev.
No, because before it fell into the other basar, it was already a cheftz of treif, and now it's too late to undo it. Right, you have to add, and now you can't undo it.
You all say that when the chilev falls in the basar, you also can't undo it.
Can't undo what? It never became usser. You don't have to undo anything.
It became usser when there was less shishim.
But it never became usser. It was just usser still mutter, but practically usser to eat. I understand practically it's usser to eat this usser because it has chilev inside it. But it's not intrinsically usser. That's the point. When meat and milk mix, they both have to become intrinsically usser. And then just add the assumption that you can't reverse it, hanan. When meat and chalek mix, they don't both have to be intrinsically usser. Why make a bigger fish? You guys swallow fish. The chalek stays usser, and it's not bottle in the meat, and the meat is therefore the carrier of isser. Okay. What's the svara of the Ramah now? So here we have a fundamental machlokes, whether between the Shach, Sefkot Yud Beis, together with the Taz, Sefkot Yud Aleph, versus Rabbi Kiva. Says the Shach Yud Beis, Kosov Ha'ogr B'Shem Maharai, Kol Mokom L'Kuli Alma Einu Olim Yid Rabbanon, and V'yu Beis Yosei, Fidarki Moshe Kass, says of Aram, Shers Yid Rabbanon, and so do many other Rishonim. He says, the Ramah, he admits Midoraisa, he just thinks the Xavier Yid Rabbanon. Hanan B'Shar Yisurim is Yid Rabbanon. Who says it's Yid Rabbanon? The Shach and the Taz, they don't invent it. They get it from the Sefer HaOgor and the Ran. And the Taz quotes it from the Maharshal. Okay, and many others. The Sefer Yerayim and many others. Okay.
This is a claim of also what Rabbeinu Tam
started. Yes, they say Rabbeinu Tam only meant to be Rabbanan. And Rabbi Kiva Eger here says, La Nias Daif be Divrei Tosa Staf Kof, etc., says that it's Doraisa. Who says this? Rabbi Akiva Eiger, based on Tosos. He says Doraisa. He's not really saying it's Doraisa. He's just pointing out that Tosos says Doraisa. How is he Medaka Tosos Doraisa? Because Tosos asks this question. Oh, how do they do Hagolah L'Kli Midyan on the Doraisa level within 24 hours if there's Hanan? Obviously, he's assuming that there was Hanan in the Doraisa days. Okay. So he has a good deal from Tosos. So what is the Svara? So there are two different ways to see the Svara of Rabbeinu Tam. He could be a Drabanan, he could be Doraisa. What's the way to say the Svara of Rabbeinu Tam? Mi Drabanan. They mean Gzeira Drabanan. Why do they make Gzeira Drabanan? Why would they be Gozer Hanan Mishar Yisrael Mi Drabanan?
We can hear something,
but the very similar case, that doesn't follow the Doraisa. That's what the Ran says. Says the Ran, meaning Svara is not going to be some deep conceptual Svara. Zera atu basar b'cholav. If there's Hanan and basar b'cholav and not in Shari Surin, it can be confusing. So there goes our Hanan and Shari Surin atu basar b'cholav. Therefore, the Ran ends up with a big chiddush. He says, you only make Zera atu a Doraisa, right? Basar b'cholav is only Doraisa if it's Derech. Therefore, he says, there's only Hanan and Shari Surin when they're cooked, not where they're mixed in a non-cooking way. And that's how he answers all of many of the rayas of Rabbeinu Ephraim. Oh, when you mix the water and the wine, why is there Hanan there? And when you mix the truma and the chula, why is there Hanan there? Because that wasn't cooking. Hanan b'shar yisurin is only when you cook it. Okay, that's the uranium. You know the safe uranium? He does not make it into the Geis Yosef Nechron. But he's in the uranium. Who's the safe uranium? Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Metz, and who's his Rebbe? Rabbeinu Tam. Where's Metz? Exactly. France bordering Germany, really. Correct. Really? Chashev. Okay, maybe you're a descendant of the Iranian. I mean, it really doesn't matter, because once you go through the grandmother, you're probably Ben Achor Ben. We're all descendants of everyone. Right? Work out the math. We're all descendants of all Rishonim, if you count mother, you know. If you count paternal and maternal lines. Okay. Now, says the Urayim, he says a different shot. Zera atu. Katichas Isser. What does he mean by this? Let's say you have the meat that absorbed 1 ounce of chilif. And then you say, that's batel in 60. What might the next guy come and say? He might have a piece of meat that's just treif meat. Meat from ShopRite. And he'll say, oh, we see that if you say this 20 ounce or whatever meat is batel in 60, he might think a 20 ounce piece of pork is batel in 60. And a 20 ounce piece of the valen treif is batel in 60. Meaning, if someone sees that a piece is batel in less than 60 times its own size, then even if they just get mamish piece of treif, they might think it's batel less than 60, right? So it's, you don't need 1,200 to be batel this piece of basar. Next time they see a piece of treif meat, they won't need 1,200. So that's the difference. The Ran says, gzeira hanan in this meat that absorbed chilev, atu meat that absorbed milk. The Ran says, gzeira hanan in this meat that absorbed chilev, atu meat that's just from a treif animal. Okay. Obviously, Urayim thinks people are more likely, more confusable than the Ran, because his case is a little further away. Lamaisa, those are the two pshatim I know in Rabbeinu Tam. What's the svara of Tosos Rabbi Akiva Eiger? What's the svara to say should be also Doraisa? It's not Xer, it's that fundamentally it's intrinsically treif. Why would it fundamentally be intrinsically treif? After all, it's just the chaylev inside it that's treif. Why would it be fundamentally, intrinsically treif? So, okay, the Rav has a different chiddush. Okay, let's start with the mainstream understanding. The Rav says, it's not that it's intrinsically treif, it's just that when you have a mixture, you need to measure 60 in the way that it got mixed, not in what's intrinsically treif. But that's a big chiddush that's very subtle. The simple shot is, but you have to look at it. He says that it's not that it's intrinsically treif. That's not the svar of Hanan b'shar yisurin. It's really intrinsically kosher. So why do you need 60 times the whole chaticha? Because when you have a mixture, you need 60 times whatever got mixed in, not whatever's truth. 60 is a is it, measuring 60 is a is a is a, a meaning. You need shishim keneged, the carrier of the treif, not the treif itself. That's a big chiddush. Unless say you throw a bun and that becomes similar to the urim. But let's stick with what the Prima Gunn and many other people say.
Wait, how does that answer the question?
Because maybe even midah oraisa, you need shishim keneged, the thing that fell in, not the thing that's truth. That would be a big chiddush, doraisa. You know what? I have to look again, see if he explicitly says doraisa. Let's leave that for now. Tell me something that I already gave you today. What could be the svara of Rabbeinu Tam according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger? After all, the chalav is treif, the basar is not treif. Why would the basar be treif? Not like basar b'chol that turns. Basar b'chol, obviously something turns from kosher to treif. Right? That's the whole point of basar b'chol, of kosher things turn into treif. But chalav and basar, what? The treif doesn't turn kosher and the kosher doesn't turn treif. Why would anything turn into something else? So, what's the pashup shot of Rabbi Akiva Eiger? So, a lot of the people are going to point out that he's probably right in Rabbeinu Tam for a reason I'll mention in a moment, that this has to do with exactly the Rav Chaim's Chiddush. Not all the details of Rav Chaim's Chiddush. Tam Ke'ikr is a new Chalos Oser. Maybe the din of Tam Ke'ikr is that there's a new Chalos Iser. It's not just that there's a Tam of Chil of my meat. Tam is a new Chalos Iser. What does that mean? That Tam actually creates a new Chalos Iser in the Basar. Anything that got a Tam of Treif becomes a new Chalos Iser. Why would this basar turn treif? Because of Tam Ke'ikr. Tam Ke'ikr creates a new Chalos Iser on the whole Tarovis, which is basically coming off Rav Chaim, that it's a new Chalos Iser. Okay, in the end, we'll get to this. See, Rav Chaim makes it even more subtle. Okay. Enough salvations for one day. We don't want to get too lost. Anyway, this svar is very pushy. As far as there's a din called Tam Ke'ikr, I know we don't know where that's learned from the Chumash yet. We'll get to it. The Torah was gozer that when there's a Tam of Treif, the whole Torah was his Treif. That's not just when there's a Tam of Treif, this Treif inside of his Treif. Maybe that, what's one of the, let's give you an example, one of the candidates for the Makar of Tam Ke'ikr is by Nutter. The Chum Mishra Sanovim Lo Yochel? I think so. Chum Mishra Sanovim Lo Yochel. Anything which is dipped in grapes, soaked in grapes, you shouldn't eat. What does that mean? Torah says, don't just not eat grapes. Don't eat anything that has the taste of grapes. So what's the Torah saying? There's a new Iser called anything that has the taste of Iser. Not anything that has the taste of Iser you can't eat because there's something inside of that treif. Anything that has the taste of Iser becomes treif. It's a new Chalos Iser. So maybe just like Basar B'chol is a new Chalos Iser, the Chalav Aser is the Basar Aser is the Chalav, Tam Ke'ikr is also a new Chalos Iser. The treif asers the kosher, and this would then be Rabbeinu Tam L'shita saying, yeah, what does Rabbeinu Tam say? We haven't seen this yet. But Rabbeinu Tam holds an interesting shita. This is a big machlokes we've shown him. Let us say that I have a mixture of chelam and basar. And I eat, or I have chelam and basar. I have a soup that has chelam inside it. Right, 1 to 59 ratio. There's chelam in the soup. It tastes like chelam. And I eat a kezias of that stew. How much chelav did I eat? An iota. Says during the time you get malchus for eating the kezias of stew. Why? Because the whole stew became a new chalos iser. Because of the gzeiros kozel tam ke'ikr. Because that's pashup shat. Pashup shat to machlokas here is what does tam ke'ikr do? The Rabbeinu Tam, according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, says tam ke'ikr means there's a new oser on the hefter. Just like basar b'chalav is a new oser, tam ke'ikr is a new oser. And therefore, now this all becomes treif and it's hanan. The Mechaber, or everyone else's version of Tam, would say, no, don't go so far. That's ridiculous. Tam Ke'ikr is not like a new oser in the heather. Tam Ke'ikr just means the iser is still oser. Tam Ke'ikr just keeps the iser oser, keeps the iser from being bottled. But the heather is still heather. And therefore, either there's no hanan or there's hanan in your bottle. How do we paskin? We paskin.
Oh, really?
That it's Rabbanan.
I like that.
Yeah, it's a nice Rabbi Eiger. And he has a good deal from Tosos. Even though he's a good deal from Tosos, halacha l'maaseh, keep in mind, many of you show them the Chaver holds no Chanan B'Shar Isurin at all. So for us to say there is kind of a sure suit, and it's Daraisa would be
going out on a limb.
Even if that was most likely the original sheet of Reign of Tom, even if I convince you historically that that was the original sheet of Reign of Tom, still would say, who said it was passed that way? After all, if some Rishonim held Daraisa, some held Ravonna, and some held not at all, it's enough to do the middle. And keep in mind, the Urain was a Talmud of Reign of Tom, so maybe he knew something, right? The Urain wasn't the, I don't know, was he theorizing, or is this what he learned from his Rebbe, Yeshiva? So it's not so pashut. You know, not so pashut. Anyway, Bachel Maisa, we pass against Rabbanan. And therefore, what's the difference? You know, Maisa Rabbanan is still usher. But therefore, we're, you know, the postkin could be a little more lenient in some borderline cases because we pass against only meet Rabbanan. And let's say in a case of like a pure suffix, it's hard to get pages of pure suffix. Like suffix that writes the Chumash of Yerayim Kulis. Though you're happy. But if you have a case of a pure suffix of Hanan, then Bishari Surin, then you have the right to be Mako because Suffolk drop on a Lakula. If you have a case of a pure Suffolk. Now, it's harder than you think to get a case of a pure Suffolk. When we get to Klaalei Seik Seika, we'll see. Does Klaalei Seik Seika also have Klaalei Suffolk drop on a Lakula in Simon Kufiot? Okay, that's the basic Shita. Now let's go on. Continuing. Yeah.
An example of when this drop on, the last Marlinian
case. I'm going to have to make up a case. I never actually had a case that I actually passed in that way. The case would be this. The case would be, let's say, again, you had a sauce that was non-hefstered. You accidentally bought a non-hefstered sauce, and then, like, you do as much beer as you can, and you discover that, you know, no, it's really, like, 10% trace. Right? So now you have this 10% trace sauce. You put some of this sauce in your, you know, you started pouring some of the sauce in your cholent, and then all of a sudden you realize it didn't have an OU, and you stopped. You're not sure how much you poured in. It wasn't a full bottle to start with. Right? More than 60th or less than 60th. You're not sure if this is batel b'shishim or not in your trouble. The tree, the original tree was for sure batel b'shishim. You just don't know if the sauce was batel b'shishim or not. So again, if the sauce was less than a 60th, it's batel. The sauce is more than a 60th, it's only Oscar Rabbanan. It's kind of sherry syrup. So in that case, Oscar Rabbanan, you can be mako. That would be a real life case.
Okay.
How likely is it to happen? I'm not sure, but you never know.
Let's say once.
As likely as people thought Corona was a year ago. Much more.
Let's say you put a sauce at the beginning of your chalent before you put the rest of the chalent. Is that double from around? Like, is that what you put the sauce in right now?
Oh, the truth is that, we'll see, that's a mafurish discussion, some inside test. It takes a little while to get there. But that's another way that Hanan could be problematic. If you have, let's say, trace that's only 1% in your chalent, but you added the ingredients the wrong order. First, you put in the trace and the water. First, you put in the treif and the water. And then you put in the beans and the barley and the meat, etc. Then, if the treif is more than a 60th of the water, it's all, even though it's less than a 60th of the chulent, it made the water kanan, and then it made everything else, sir.
You have double kanan.
Yes. Triple, quadruple.
Really?
Yeah.
Great.
That's actually a whole discussion. Halmachlokes to Mitzadik Tess. If someone asks you a shayla, do you have to check what order they put in the ingredients because of kanan? Okay. Let's just read a little more. Adds the adds the Rama. The davka im ha'iser dovok bechatichas heter. Oshe chaticha kulachot the rotev enafla leha iser. Abol mitzvah chivotoch a rotev. The iser dovok bol lo amina chanan mitzarfka lakdeira levatel iser kol makom yishlahachmer lesser osa chaticha. Okay, that's a very complicated mouthful there. Let's remember, how do we have a case of Hanan? You only get real Hanan issues usually when you have a two-step process. Like first A mixes with B, and then A and the AB combo gets mixed with C. Right? Because if you mix everything original, there's no Hanan, right? If I just take 8 different ingredients and mix them all, then what's Hanan? The answer is more than a 60th or less than a 60th. So, like one example, So how would you have come out here? The Rama says a big fish. This is something called Isser Dovuk. This has no mokar in Shas whatsoever. It's only found in the later Ashkenazic Rishon. Says the Rama, how are you going to ever have Hanan Bishari Sturin? Now you might say, if first I make a sauce in a factory and then I add it to my children's. He's not thinking of that case. If first some chilev lands on a piece of meat, you know, on the grill, and then I take the piece of meat and put it in my cholent. He's not thinking of that case. Let's say you're cooking everything together. How would you have a case of Hanan? After all, everything's just originally together. So obviously you're going to say, like in Sif Beis, it lands and then you stir it in. Okay, but he starts with this fish called Gisser Dovuk. What is Gisser Dovuk? And this nowadays is not as big a deal, but in the old days, this is very, very common because if you were cooking meat in the old days, what was the most common mistake that happened? You accidentally left a little chilev on the meat. Right? You're supposed to cut the chilev off the meat. What if you accidentally left a little chilev off the meat? That's like mice and choyel, apparently. Like, oh, so many of the cases discussed in the Shofanar for that. Chilev is dovuk. Right? It's glued to the meat. Says the Rama, big fish. What does he start at first? Only if it's dovuk. Let's see what he means by dovuk. First, one case there's no Hanan. No Hanan is here is your pot. Here is your pot. Your pot is 60. And here is your chaticha of basar, which is, you know, 5. Right? Let's make your pot a little more interesting.
60 without the pot?
It's not going to matter. Let's make sure that it doesn't matter, okay? 200. Basar is 5. And here you have your chelev 1. No. Sorry.
Why can the top of 60? Why is it?
Good. Now, the chelev is floating, the basar is floating. What happens here? The chelev is, time of the chelev is brought to b'shishim. If the chelev eventually just melts in, you know, if you see the chelev, you'll take it out. And the time of the chelev is brought to b'shishim. The chelev melts in, and it's brought to b'shishim, right? You can't possibly have a problem here. But what about the following case? What's the more common case? Is that why do you have a piece of chelev in your house? Is that you have a piece of basar with chelev stuck to it? Right, they forgot to peel the chilev off the basar. That's called Isser Dovuk. Isser Dovuk says the Rama, now mutter. Two hundred to 1 ratio. Asser, it's a 200 to 6 ratio. Because you say the meat is chanan. Why do you say this meat is chanan? After all, the chalav is just immediately in the rotev, right? It's like stirred in already. Why is this meat chanan? So here the Taz brings a machlokas. Why this, again, Isser Dovuk is not found in Shas. He brings a machlokas. What's the svar of this Isser Dovuk thing? So, says the Isser Behater Ha'aruch and the Smak, right? This goes back as far as the Smak. The Israel had to earth with first a time b'shem smak. B'shem smak. You say Hanan. The Bach, why? This is the Hanan of Isser Dovuk. Why? So there are two svaras. One is the Isser Beheter quoting the smak. Shema Allah min harotev. Maybe it went out of the rotev. Maybe in the course of stirring the pot, you stirred the pot, and this piece of meat went up out of the rotev. Once it went up out of the rotev, it's now not part of the rotev anymore. Now the chilev will make the meat chanan. Now when you stirred it back into the rotev, it's like near, low near, but chilev basof, and it becomes treif.
what underlying assumption underlies this smack? The controversial part of the smack is mehechitesi that this happened. The non-controversial part of the smack, I think, to the best of my knowledge, is what's the assumption? Let's say I cook something for an hour. At what time during that hour does the taste of the chaylev go into the basar? What would a scientist tell me? Well, it all depends. It's very complicated. A little now, a little then. It depends on the temperature, on the this, on the that. You know, it's unpredictable. What does the halacha tell me? Since it's unpredictable, therefore, every moment we are machmir that at this moment the time goes in. So therefore, what does the smak say? Maybe once you stirred it, and here's the rotif level. And it was out of the rotev. When it was out of the rotev, and at that moment, the time of the chaylev went into the basar. Now it's a 1-5 ratio. It makes the basar treif. Right? I mean, technically, all you need is for 1/12 the time of the chaylev to go into the basar at that moment. Makes the basar treif. 1-5 ratio. Now the basar is chanan. Now when you stir it back in, you're stirring the chanan back in. And it makes the whole pot treif. Okay. That is the chiddush of the smak of the Isra Hetra. It's a big chiddush. Says the Taz himself, and this is also what the Shach seems to hold in Hilchos Malicha. Shach doesn't say anything here, I don't think. But in Hilchos Malicha, the Shach discusses this. They say no. Even without this, it is Memaher Livloa on Yedei Hadibok. Memaher Livloa. What does he say? That since the chilev and the basar are stuck together, the basar gets the blias chilev before everything else does. So the time of the chilev goes into the basar first, just because it's stuck, and then goes into the rest of the pot. So since it goes into the basar first, the basar becomes chanan, because it hasn't yet gone into the rest of the pot. And then later, goes in the rest of the pot. What does he mean? Meaning there's two stages. There's the automatic two stages. Right? First, the time of the chilev goes into the basar alone. Then, the time of the chilev and the basar goes into the rest of the kedera. But in that first step, since it only went into the meat, it was only 1-5, it was in bottle, made a chanan. Okay, what's the nafkamina between these two reasons, says the Taz. Nafkamina between these two reasons is, what if it's not stuck, it's just encompassed? What if it's not stuck, it's just encompassed? You know, like for example, you're cooking a kosher fish, it has a tree fish in its stomach. It's not attached. What if it's not attached? What's an afkamina? What if it's not attached, but it is encompassed? Like their example is, the fish still has a worm in it, right? It's not attached, it's not like chilev and basar, it's not a natural attachment. So, according to reason Aleph, you would say chanan. Who cares? It can still go up out of the rotev at the same time. But according to reason Bet, you would not say chanan. According to reason Bet, you would not say chanan. Because why would they believe the worm go into the fish more than anything else? They're not attached. They're just near each other. Okay. And therefore, what does he say in the end? It's a big deal. In the Achronim says the Taz in the end. That he thinks you should make like his reason, because Chanan Mishar Sun is brought on anyway, so you don't have to be so machmir. Okay, the Prima Gadim is a little more machmir. He says, no, maybe only if it's an Isra Rabban to start with.
Why wouldn't the why wouldn't it be stirring in Chilah? Why wouldn't it be no quality and stirring it?
Because remember what the Taz said earlier, that when we say it's enough to just stir mitchila, you have to stir until the drop of milk dissolves. Here the chilav hasn't dissolved yet. Okay, that's the nafkamina, and the mice of the Taz is makel, something different, a little more machmir. The Taz is makel because chanan share a certain drabanim. Here's one place where he used that. If you look at the Brim Gadim here, he's not so convinced. And he has all kinds of reasons. Okay. Well, Lamaisa, there's certainly, you know, much room to be makel in this case because we're only starting with the Rabbanan to start with. Yes? Yes. Yes. The Prima Gadim is Machmer like the Smak, and Taz is Mako like himself. Prima Gadim says only if it was an Isra Rabbanan to start with. You know, if it was a piece of Venus Akum or something, you know, then I'll be Mako. So that's a whole Machlokas Havakaskin. The Taz is Mako, the Prima Gadim right on this Taz is Machmer. Okay. Unlikely to come up every day. We're not going to be Machriya this Lamaisa. Okay, so much for Isser Davuk. There's a lot more to say about this. If you feel that it's a very, very hard simon, you're right. And I think it's might just be like, you know, the hardest simon, at least till Kofiud, that we're going to do. The hardest simon we're going to do for a long time. So just, you know, put in your extra effort. / say a few extra kapei lechtekelim after shachris. / you know, come to me and ask for help. Make sure you get down. Okay, we'll have to continue. Mirtz Hashem. Next time.
What are you saying on the less controversial aspect?
The less controversial assumption is that every minute we say this is the minute that the Tom transfers. Yes, but every minute we're machmer, this is the bad minute. That's not the controversial part. The controversial part is, who says that they went out of the rotif? Who says that everyone went out of the rotif? I never saw it go out of the rotif. We need to like stick a camera here. Hold on a second. Can I just take a picture using the camera on the? Yeah, I can, but it's complicated. Oh no, I want to use the back camera. The front camera's not as good as it should be. Hi to Ben, wherever you are, and Sasha.
How's it going? Thank you.
See you soon. Mirtz Hashem.
You too.